Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and we have a busy docket today. First, lawyers gone wild. Two, no more spousal privilege. Third, the man charged with the disappearance of Savannah Spurlock pleads not guilty. Photos Doulos sticks with Gone Girl theory, and why you don't trust jailhouse snitches. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning in. If you like the channel, please hit the subscribe button. If you like the video, hit that like button. And if you'd like to receive notifications of any new content that we put out, hit that little bell so you receive those notices. First, we have our Patreon page up. See the link below. And you'll notice we have all of the levels that are there and what value you receive for each and every level. I encourage you to do so, but you don't have to. Now, first on the docket, let's talk lawyers gone wild. A Houston attorney named Jeffrey Stern is charged with an alleged case running scheme, and he's charged with tax evasion, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy. Now, Jeffrey Stern, does that name sound familiar? It may, because several years ago, he made headlines for allegedly trying to kill his socialite wife, Yvonne Stern. The prosecutors had alleged that he had attempted to have her killed on three occasions. The charges were ultimately dropped because his wife, Yvonne, stuck by Mr. Stern. Now, Mr. Stern's then mistress was not as fortunate and went to prison. Mr. Stern's new legal troubles stem from basically paying people to send over cases. And it's one of the co-defendants in the case is the head of a treatment center. And the statement that was issued by that treatment center was that this is nothing more than a big insurance attack on personal injury attorneys. When the press attempted to contact Mr. Stern's legal office, his staff was unaware that he had even been arrested. Now, we have a double feature here when it comes to lawyers gone wild. There is an Ohio attorney who practices law by the name of Catherine Sears. She hasn't been an attorney very long, and she practices with her now husband. And we'll get to that one in just a second. But in her spare time, she moonlights out in Las Vegas at a brothel. And she claims that she's made, in a one-month period, roughly $45,000 as an escort. Miss Sears apparently worked her way through law school as a prostitute and a dancer, and feels quite strongly about what she is doing, which is why she decided to talk to the media about her second job. Miss Sears met her now husband in law school, but she was also working as a prostitute at the time. She states that she likes sex, sex is fun, and as long as it's consensual, everybody's happy. John Sears, Catherine's now husband, states that he doesn't really have a problem with Catherine's extracurricular job activities in Nevada. But wait, there's more. Shortly after Catherine came out with her revelation to the world that she works as a prostitute in a brothel in Nevada 3 weeks a month when she's not practicing law in Iowa. Well, her husband, John, just had his law license suspended for 1 year. Apparently, he had received a DUI and was quite intoxicated. And that's not particularly surprising in today's world, except for the fact that he's an attorney and he probably knows better. As a criminal defense attorney, he should know better. But drinking and alcohol is so prevalent in the legal profession. I've seen it ruin so many lives. I personally don't drink simply for the fact that I have seen it ruin so many lives. Attorneys go home, they have a drink, say, oh, I'm going to have my one drink. Oh, it was a really bad day. I think I'll have two or three. Next thing you know, it's three, four, five every night. And the three to five is the normal. And next thing you know, somebody's an alcoholic and it's affecting their job performance and their job and their law license. I've just seen it spiral out of control. So John Sears not only gets the DUI, he then is placed on probationary status because of the DUI, not only through the courts, but through the Bar Association. He's supposed to comply, do treatment, do classes. He doesn't show up for a single class. Then he apparently goes and has a domestic violence incident with his ex-wife, where he apparently tries to break into her home. He has a gun. And then when the police contact Mr. Sears, they see his text messages to his now current wife, Catherine, the prostitute in Nevada. The text to John to his wife, Catherine, are, "I'm drunk as fuck. I have a gun. I am leaving her. Let this make you happy. I've assaulted her. I've threatened to kill myself. I can't so with her. I don't want to kill her." Those are not good statements to make. Those are not good statements to make on your phone and to your wife. And I don't think they're going to necessarily qualify under the spousal privilege, which is our next topic on the docket. The state of New Mexico has now eliminated spousal privilege. All right. A privilege is something that, for example, attorney-client privilege. If a client tells me something and says, "Hey, this is where the body is buried," I can't go tell anybody that. Okay. If you go to a priest and say, "I want to repent my sins," the priest isn't supposed to tell you that. The priest cannot be called into court and be ordered to say what the parishioner had told the priest in confession. That is the priest-penitent privilege. Doctors have a privilege. They can't come in and talk about your medical history unless you give consent to do so. Well, there's also a thing called spousal privilege. And what you tell your spouse, for example, on a little pillow talk at night, and you tell them, "Oh, by the way, I robbed a bank. I maybe did something to somebody really bad today." Guess what? Your spouse cannot come in and testify against you unless you waive that privilege and allow her to do so. Now, there are general exceptions to that. Usually, if it's a child abuse or domestic violence case, that privilege does not apply. Well, New Mexico Supreme Court basically said that this privilege is old and antiquated, and it really has no place in the real world today because people tell everything to everyone. Some of the justices were a little troubled by just completely eliminated it by judicial fiat, which means completely just making new law, whereas they should have gone through the rulemaking process as it relates to the legal rules. But needless to say, our previous lawyers gone wild, John and Catherine Sears, don't want to tell each other their little pillow talk at night, at least not in the state of New Mexico, because they can now be called in to testify against each other. Now I'm getting a little thirsty after all this talking. I think I'll take a sip from my Crime Talk mug. If you'd like to have a Crime Talk mug of your own, see the link below to Teespring. And next on the docket is the case of Savannah Spurlock. She is the Kentucky woman that is a mother of four, who was seen leaving a bar on surveillance video with a man by the name of David Sparks and two other men. Savannah was ultimately found some 4 months later buried in a shallow grave on the property of Sparks' parents. Sparks was questioned, but he was not arrested until they actually found the body of Miss Spurlock. Sound familiar? Patrick Frazee case. Sound familiar? Dulos case. Miss Spurlock's body was also found wrapped in a rug that was consistent with a rug found at the Sparks residence. And they also found a blood stain with DNA consistent of Miss Spurlock at the Sparks home in a closet. When Sparks was interviewed by the police, he did admit that he had gone home with Miss Spurlock and that she had awoken, requested the address where she was at his property so that someone could come pick her up, and ultimately she left, and that he had nothing to do with the death of Miss Spurlock. He's entered a plea of not guilty. We'll see what the trial brings. We'll be watching the case closely to see if any motions are filed in the case that will shed some light on further information that may not be necessarily readily available to the media. Now, the next matter on the docket is that of Fotos Doulos. And for those of you who do not know, Mr. Fotos Doulos is the prime suspect in the disappearance of his wife, Jennifer Doulos, the mother of five, who has not been seen now for months. And it is alleged by the police that Fotos Doulos and his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, were allegedly dumping items of evidentiary value in trash cans and down drains, where the police believe that it was blood or blood-like substances related to Jennifer Doulos. Doulos and Traconis are both on bond as it relates to these tampering with evidence charges. Neither one has been charged with murder. Mr. Doulos' attorneys have basically thrown out, send up a trial balloon as it relates to a gone girl theory that Jennifer Doulos must have left, and this is all just a big plan to basically frame him. Fotos Doulos give an interview to NBC's Dateline, and Dateline spends an hour on this case. Fotos Doulos completely contradicts what Jennifer Doulos had stated in various affidavits, where she said that she was afraid of Fotos Doulos, that they fought, and that he was physical with her. He says that they rarely ever argued, and it was never physical in any way. Additionally, he too is going along with his gone girl theory and basically says that he believes that she is still alive and that he hopes that she is okay. Do you believe it? Leave a comment below. Last thing on the docket today is, this is why we don't trust jailhouse snitches. An appellate court in California reversed the convictions of a gentleman by the name of Jack Sagan. And in 1986, Jack Sagan was charged, tried, convicted, and ultimately appealed the sentence in his case regarding the death of Paula Dorcher. Ms. Dorcher lived alone in a Monterey apartment and was discovered hours after the killing by her daughter. While the police initially had no suspects, months after the murder, two inmates at the Monterey County Jail claimed Jack Sagan had confessed to killing Dorcher, and both inmates were informants who had tipped off police multiple times in the past, according to the court opinion. In 2009, the Innocence Project represented Sagan and identified several items found at the Monterey Police Department which could be tested for DNA evidence, including vaginal swabs taken from Ms. Dorcher, hairs found on her back, and scrapings taken from under her fingernails. None of the DNA matched Jack Sagan. Scrapings from under Ms. Dorcher's fingernails contained DNA from an unknown male, which could not have been known in 1986 because DNA evidence was still very primitive. The then DA at the time offered the two prisoners informants and a 13-year-old girl who lived in the motel unit where Sagan was staying. The jury also heard four alibi witnesses who claimed that Sagan was in San Jose at the time of the murder and possibly could not have done this. The jury, not having any scientific evidence, convicted Mr. Sagan. Spent 30 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. The DA can still attempt to move forward based upon the evidence that they had at that time, but it seems unlikely that they're going to state that they are going to refile and charge Mr. Sagan for the murder of Ms. Dorcher. Which brings me back to my first point. You cannot trust jailhouse snitches. Jailhouse snitches generally are looking for some benefit. They oftentimes plant themselves in a situation to try to get information about somebody or know that the police are looking for a particular information about a case or an individual and then go seek it out or find enough information so that they can speak with just enough knowledge to make it sound like they know what they're talking about. In this particular case, they sent an innocent man to prison for a crime that he didn't commit, where he spent 30 years of his life in prison for a crime he didn't commit, and he will never get that time back. If those two jailhouse snitches are still around, they should be prosecuted for perjury. Now, the statute of limitations has probably run, but that's the kind of situation that needs to be punished so harshly that those people never see the light of day. That's all we have for Crime Talk today. We appreciate you watching. Please hit the subscribe button. Please like the channel. And if you'd like to become a Patreon member, we'd appreciate that. There are different levels, and the higher the levels, the more individual access you'll have, where we will talk one-on-one about cases. Have a great day.